But one of the studies that we had on Friday night, we talked about the key to transformation. So the Bible, we talk about the Bible is the Word of God. And we believe that with all our heart. And we know God uses the Word, the Bible, to transform His people, to change us from the inside out. Jesus prayed in chapter 17 of John, 17:17, He says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Jesus' prayer there is that His people be set apart. And the only way that you and I can be set apart is by the truth in God's word. Also in 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17, Paul says that all the scripture is God-breathed. Or the translation would say it's inspired by God and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the people of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, for Christians to experience growth and transformation in their lives, they must not lose the cravings for the Word of God. The moment that you stop hungering God's Word, transformation will not happen. For transformation to occur, to take place in our lives, you and I cannot lose the cravings, the longing for the Word of God. That's what Peter talked about to Christians in the first century. He said, as babies, he says, crave the spiritual milk by which you are to grow. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it, you may grow up in your salvation. Now that we're saved, we're to grow up. I mean, we've been talking about, and through the study, like how many people, how many Christians, they've been in church for so long and they don't think there's a problem when they don't know much of the Bible. And you know, even yesterday in some of the workshops in the metro, people were challenged. Like, I mean, don't you think there's a problem when you've been in church for so long and you're still dealing with the same issues? You know, you're still like, you know, hating people or maybe getting, I mean, there's got to be some kind of transformation happening within you if you let the Word of God change you. This man has a great book entitled Growing Your Faith. Jerry Bridges, he says, if we are going to grow into Christ's likeness through the exposure of God's Word, one of the things we must do is develop Bible-based convictions. A conviction is a determinative belief. Something you believe so strongly that it affects the way you live. You know, there are people that they believe they are the only ones on the road, and you see it because they just don't listen, they don't pay attention to the stop sign. They just go. That's determined, that's governed by a belief they have. They say, like, I'm the only one in a hurry. I'm the only one that needs to, you know, and so they forget about, they neglect the law of traffic because they, you know, that behavior is controlled by a belief. And that's their conviction. You know, some people's conviction is, oh, it's all about me. I want to shine. It's just like, you know, and you see how they act based on that. We said in that study, I think the problem with so many people in our society and so many Christians is lack of biblical conviction. But my friends, we cannot develop Bible-based convictions if we do not know the Bible. How would you have biblical convictions, Bible-based convictions, when we don't even know what the Bible says? So in order for us to develop this biblical worldview, we need to go back to Scripture. Sanctify them by the truth. It's in the Word of God that you and I are going to be able to know what it says. And then from there, we develop these convictions that our lives are going to start changing because we believe that so hard that it's going to start affecting, see, transformation, change, affecting the way we live. But that's going to start with Bible-based convictions. As followers of Jesus, our beliefs come from the Bible. Our worldview should come from the Bible as well. My friends, you know our beliefs and values that we hold today, they come to us because we were born in certain families, and the family that I was raised, they had certain values and beliefs, and since I was born and raised there, I adopt those beliefs from my parents. So sometimes we get our beliefs from our family. We might get it from society. We get it from culture. We get it from a philosophical idea. We get it also from religion. A lot of people now are getting it from the social media. Even when they engage into debates on social media, it's like, really, that's what you believe? We are to get our beliefs, really, regardless where you are born, we are to get our beliefs from the Bible. That is the inerrant word of God. And everything that we do, who we are, is determined, should be determined by the word of God. Romans 12, verse 2. And I'm going to read verse 1 too, so you get the whole picture. Paul's talking to the Christians at Rome. He said, therefore, verse 1, I urge you, brothers, by in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And then chapter 2 is going to be our main text for the day. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be, everybody says, transformed by the renewal or renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Paul is urging the Christians not to conform to the pattern of this world, to the pattern of society. Now, this whole idea of not conforming to the patterns of the world, he said, do not let the world dictate how you're going to live your life. Do not follow the ways of the world. I love the rendition of the Bible. This is a paraphrase called The Message. If you read it, it says like this. Do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. So the world, my friend, society already has a mold, a frame. That's what conform, a frame, a mold, a pattern for you and I to fit in. And when you don't fit in there, the world will reject you, just like they rejected Jesus. So Paul says, for Christians, do not conform to the mold, to the frame that the world has for you. You need to be transformed by the renewal or renewing of your mind. That word conform means to fashion, to be molded. You see, when people are building a house, a foundation, they have a mold for the concrete, and then they pour the concrete, and whatever that mold was, that's exactly how the concrete is going to come. The world has a mold for you and I, a frame. The world wants us to look this way, to behave this way. The word for the Christians, do not conform to that pattern that the world has for you. And then he says, be transformed. If you look up in the lexicon, the word transform, there is the word for metamorphosis, where we get the word metamorphosis. That's what the butterfly goes through. The cocoon, you know, it's transformation. But be transformed by renewing of your mind. My friends, transformation begins by changing the way we think. If we don't change our minds and we don't change the way we think, there's never going to be transformation. I have a grandmother, and you know, occasionally you ask him, how are you doing? She will never tell you that she's doing well. She, I'm okay, so-so. Barbara smiling, she knows it. And it's like, you see, everybody else around your family already died, and you're still kicking, but she's always, you know, like, I'm doing so-and-so. Like, she's never, you know, and sometimes she gets sick because she always thinks that she's sick. There's never going to be change in the way that she's going to feel. I mean, she's still strong, but, you know, you ask him, she's like, because it starts right here in our mind. That's why it says, but be transformed by renewing your mind. Transformation begins by changing the way we think. I mean, think about this, my friends. Why is it so hard for people to stick to their goals? Why is it so hard for us to love each other sometimes? Why is it so hard for us to forgive other people? Even if you try, like, I'm going to do it. Why is it so hard? Because everything starts in the mind. You see, I tell you why it's so hard. Because there's areas in our lives, in our minds, that we have not given over to God yet. I'm preaching to some people here today, this morning. You see, that's why sometimes transformation will not happen in those areas. Like, maybe I'm not good forgiving people. And some of you can testify that perhaps you were used to be differently before and something changed, right? You see, like, man, like I was talking to a friend of mine. He said, you know, before when I got into things like that, I would get a baseball bat. And then my friend was telling me, it's like, man, something changed in him because he doesn't act like that anymore. So you see, there's transformation there. So if you realize that you're still going through the same thing and like you're struggling to either forgive or to do certain things, even to keep my goals, like I said, I'm going to clean my room and still being like 2 weeks and I haven't done anything, it's going to start in your head, in your mind. For transformation to realize, you know, I'm going to do this. People, like every year we go through year's resolution and we, by the end of January, we break our resolutions. Why? Well, you didn't want it that bad. And also, because there are areas that you have not given those areas to God, and that's why you are failing in those areas. My friends, we have a sin problem. I don't need to remind you that. Look, just through scripture, you read, we do have a sin problem. In our society, we think it is a gun problem, but no, my friend, it is a sin problem. And sin begins where? In our minds. What do you think it says? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by changing the way you think. We need a new perspective if indeed we want to obtain transformation. Now, my friends, I don't know if you knew anything about the mind, but the mind is the most complex things that you and I have. Not even the most complex computer can go toe-to-toe with our mind. Our minds created computers and technology, by the way. There's not a computer in the world that can decipher what goes into our mind. Now, yes, scientists can tell you a lot about the brains and all the atoms and things over there. They can tell you everything, but nobody can tell you about what's going on in your mind right now. The mind is one of the private parts you have, in case you didn't know. Only you know what goes in there. Only you know those thoughts you have in there. You and God. Because he said that nothing is hidden that will not be disclosed. God knows already what we're thinking. That's why we might worship God so loud. People think like, wow, that's a great worship. You're so happy. But God's like this, like, yeah, they're doing it. I'm not pleased because God already knows the intention in your mind. Because he knows, we can fool each other. But we can never fool God because he already knows that. So the mind is so complex. This French philosopher named René Descartes says, I think, therefore I am. And what he meant by that is like that the only assurance that you are alive is because the consciousness in the mind. So the consciousness is the only sure evidence that we have that we actually exist. You know how it happens when people say that they are in a vegetable state, that if the mind is not working, they're nobody. They're dead. The mind is so complex. Like I said, no one but you know exactly what goes into your mind. Now, the mind, according to the Bible, is also synonymous with thoughts. The thoughts that we think. You know, sometimes they might not be godly. Sometimes they are. You know, everything begins in the mind. Some of the ladies were going through a book entitled The Battle of the Mind. Why do you think somebody's writing books about that? Because every battle that we face, every temptation we go, everything starts in our mind. That's why now Paul says you need to renew your mind to change the way you think if indeed you want to experience transformation in this life. You see, in our mind, we allow God to work. But in the same mind, we let Satan to have a field day. In the same mind, you got to see that in Matthew 16, Peter. He prays in God at one time. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the next few verses later, Jesus had to tell him, get behind me, Satan. Because your mind, he says, is not thinking godly right now. But you got your own agenda here. That's what Jesus told Peter. So in our mind, we allow God and God can do amazing things through us. And we have our thoughts pleasing God. But in the same mind, we have Satan telling us to do things. And then sometimes we follow one or the other. Now, isn't that interesting that the greatest commandment in the Bible says to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind? Now, have you ever thought, how do I start even loving God with my mind? Perhaps you say maybe by thinking godly things and getting positive things in my mind. You hear people sometimes, they say, I don't want to hang out with certain people because I'm surrounded by negativity and that starts getting into my head. The head means it's my mind. And, it's affecting the way I communicate. It's affecting the way I think because, everything starts in the mind. We're to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, Jesus said. There was an Indian guy, and many of you heard about him. Gandhi said, he understood the complexity of the mind. He said, your beliefs become your thoughts. Your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits, and your habits become what you value. Where did he start? Belief and thoughts. And then all those things are going to affect what you value later on. What you value, what you spend a lot of money on, is determined by a belief that you have, a conviction that you already have. The store you go to shop, ShopRite versus Stop and Shop, it's, you know, nobody's telling you to do, but you have a conviction that says, no, this one is better because that one, you know, it's a conviction. And my friends, everything we do, good or bad, starts where? In our mind. That's why it's so complex. You and I cannot even understand it. Let me give you another question. Why is it that if somebody were to ask you, why do you like blonde women rather than brunette? You and I cannot explain that. Why do you like blue eyes ladies? Try to explain it. You can't. Why do you like certain type of people? And now everything starts there. And some it's so complex, you cannot describe it. You say, I don't know. I guess that's who I am. As you think, so are you. As I think, therefore I am. Whatever we do is governed by what we think, by our reasoning. Whatever we do, that means either good or bad, it's all starts in our minds. Let me give you some examples from the Bible. Satan planted a seed of doubt in Eve's mind. Remember? Satan came and said, like, did God really say you're not supposed to eat of the fruit? No, not really. So Eve already knew that God said that don't eat, but now somebody else bring a different preposition, and now she's like, everything is, no. God knows that if you eat of that fruit, you will be like God. Eve was already like God because she was created like Adam in the image of God, but now somebody else is bringing a different proposition. And she had, there's a seed of doubt in her mind, and that's all it took for you and I to be even talking about that today even. That's all it took for mankind to fail. She thought about it. She reasoned it out. I was like, being like God. You see, our mind is a war zone. The enemy will hit us there. You see, that it's in our mind that we have jealousy, discontentment, anxiety, unforgiving attitude, self-centeredness, etc. Everything starts in the mind. And you know what the body does? The body is just an instrument by which we carry out the desires of the mind. The body, just like we do things, but you know, everything starts in the mind, like this computer right here in our bodies, and we do things because somebody's telling us, the mind's dictating how we act and how we behave. And then the mind, the thoughts, then the convictions will kick in. Satan also planted an idea in Peter's mind. The idea was that, no, Jesus did not have to die. I would not allow that to happen. Chapter 16 in Matthew. After Peter heard Jesus saying, Jesus said, you know, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. People are going to arrest me. They're going to beat me. They're going to put me to death. They're going to crucify me. But on the third day, I raise again. Peter said, never. I would not allow that to happen. That's Satan all over the place, by the way. Because look at what Jesus said in that verse 23. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Let me translate that for you in case you missed it. Get behind me, Satan, because right now you're not thinking godly. Because right now you're not thinking with the mind of God, but with the mind of man, you. Because the plan of God was always that Jesus Christ would go to the cross. Peter wanted to stop him. And at that time, you see, now, my friends, look, sometimes even our own friends become Satan. And we have to say, recognizing, get behind me, Satan, you're not thinking godly at that moment. But how would you know what's godly after you've been transforming by the renewing of your mind? That's when you're going to be able to distinguish when the enemy comes and try to plant seeds of doubts into your head. When he's trying to get you to do what he wants rather than what God wants for you. You see, my friends, the foundation of all transformation, the foundation of changing your character and changing your conduct is laid deep in your mind. starts over there, and it's going to start with a change, a renewed mind. A changed mind is essential in order for you and I to understand the will of God. Have you ever wondered, as a follower of Jesus, why sometimes we don't know the will of God? What is the will of God in that situation? What is the will of God for me in this relationship that I'm having with this young man or this young woman? What is God's will? Sometimes we're going to have trouble finding God's will for us in any decision we make because we're not changing. We have not renewed our mind. We're not being transforming those areas. And now we're seeking God's will as if it is something that you are to go and pursue. It's already done. It's already given. But sometimes we don't know what it is. But look what he says. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do we know when something is acceptable to God? How do we know when something is the will of God in this scenario, in this situation? You will not know if your mind has not been changed, renewed. If you have not adopted God's perspective rather than your own perspective. When you adopt God's perspective, then you're going to know His will. When you are molded by His pattern rather than the world's pattern. My friends, the text says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Do not let the world squeeze you into its mold, but be transformed, changed by the renewing of your mind, by changing your mind. Transformation happens only when your mind, the way you think, is changed. Why is it that we're not supposed to conform to the pattern of this world? Because God, my friend, has given us a mold already, a pattern. We're not to be molded by the systems of this world or by the way the world thinks. God has given us a frame by which we are to operate. Some people call this, God has given us a standard. You know, sometimes you got the world standards and you got God's standard. You got the world's pattern or mold, and you have God's mold. And God's mold is called Jesus, by the way. Romans 8:29 says, those He foreknew, He also predestined to be, here's the word, conformed, fashioned, framed to the image of His Son. Those who God foreknew, He also predestined. That's the God already elaborated that plan way before you and I were born. He elaborated this mold for His people to fit in. It's like a cookie cutter things that you and I need to fit in there, and that is Jesus, not the world. The world has one for you and I, but says those who God knew, He also called. Those who God foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son, that He might be the firstborn from among many brothers. Jesus Christ is the mold or the frame of the Christian. We are to be squeezed into Jesus. If you have that imagery of the cookie cutter, like not being squeezed into the world, but being squeezed into the mold of Christ. The ultimate goal that God has for you and I as His followers is that we become more like Jesus. To think like Jesus, to act like Jesus, to behave like Jesus. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by renewing your mind, and you already have this mold, this pattern that is already Christ. Isn't that what we all want to be, more like Christ? And we do have some areas that, you know, it's almost like God had to really push us hard and squeeze and chisel certain areas because we don't want that to happen. And until we let that and renew our mind and say, Lord, just do with me what you want, to me to live is Christ and to die is gain, like the Apostle Paul, then transformation will never happen. If your belief and convictions are not Bible-based, it will be easy for you and I to just go with the world. If your convictions and beliefs are not Bible-based, it will be easy for you to be conformed to the pattern of the world. But when your beliefs and convictions are Bible-based, you're not going to let the world squeeze you into its mold. Because you realize, I got to be transformed by renewing my mind, by changing the way I think, and letting God change my mind. There's even songs, change my heart of God, change my mind. Lord, renew my mind. Why do we need that? Because we're still thinking a lot of the things that are not godly. And in order for us to be changed, to be renewed, transformed, we need to let God to continue changing us from the inside out. Our thinking, my friends, must reflect Christ. You know, that's one of the greatest testimonies sometimes when people look at you and they say like, wow, like, you know, I can see when people say like, there's something different about you. You are distinct. I don't get it. And it's like, oh, you are a true Christian because they see the fruit already. They see the fruit of transformation. You got those beliefs, those convictions, and now it's obvious even for the outside. The problem is when people say like, you really, that's a Christian? And it's like, because our actions are not reflecting really what we believe, our conviction. Christians don't behave like that. You know, there's so many people don't come to church because perhaps they're being hurt by churches and it was like somebody in the church that the way they acted because they did not renew their mind. There was no transformation when they saw it. My prayer is that when God, people look at us, they see Christ in how we do things, how we behave, how we even respond to people. You know, that is Jesus loved the place because he's the mold, the frame. Now, please don't take this the wrong way. Being Jesus doesn't mean that you don't get firm and tell the body the truth. Sometimes we get this wimpy idea of Jesus. Like, he was so humble, he didn't confront people. But that's the wrong Jesus because Jesus was always confronting wrong things in their faces. So, but how did he do it? In love. He never disrespected people. Now, yeah, the Pharisees felt disrespected by him because they wanted Jesus to do what they wanted. But the mind of Jesus, we had to be rooted in him. So Jesus started being reflected in everything else that we do, how we communicate with people, how we talk to people. But that's not going to happen unless that we renew our mind. We change the way we think. We must let God change our mind so that we can reflect him. The more that we let the word of God dwell in our minds, the more transformation we'll experience in this life. That's what the psalm writer said. In Psalm, I think it's 119. I don't have it. It just came to me. That the psalm writer says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to his word. I think that's verse 8, 119:9, and then 11 says, in my heart I have hidden your word that I may not sin against you. The word heart there is the same word for mind in the Old Testament. Like the more that you hide this, the more that you spend time and you get this in your mind, the more transformation you and I will have. The more that we're going to go with what God wants us to do, the more that we're going to understand and approve and test and realize this is the will of God. When we let this dictate our thoughts, when we let this pattern govern our lives, transformation is impossible without this. Sanctification is impossible without the word of God. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. This is what's going to really clean us up in this world. And we need to let this, you know, like I said, conviction is something you believe so strongly that you let that affect the way you live. We got to be convicted about what he says in here. But we got to know what he says in order for us to develop Bible-based convictions. A biblical worldview starts right here, to let that in our minds. And then in our hearts, and everything we do is going to come, and people are going to see it. It's going to be evident when they see how we operate in this world. Like I said at the beginning of the sermon, the problem we have in so many Christians is lack of conviction because they don't know what the Bible teaches. They don't know what the Bible says. We're never going to be transformed neglecting his instructions here. We're never going to experience transformation when we don't spend time in his word. And my friends, we're always going to be lost in this world if you don't follow this GPS. You're always going to be lost with decisions you make if you don't follow this GPS. This is the GPS for life. This doesn't even need batteries. And he tells us, somebody said Bible means basic instructions before leaving earth. You know, why is it that when we go the opposite direction and perhaps an attitude that you might have right now, the word of God convicts you and you feel like, because the conviction is why I would say recalculating. You got to recalculate something. You got to go back to what he's telling you to do because right now you're not. And so this is the GP. We always gonna be lost in this world when we don't follow His guidance, His GPS. Transformation is not gonna occur because we're not following His instructions. We never have a sense of meaning and direction in this life. Why? Because we have not let the Word of God transform us, change us. It's this that can really change our mind for God. Transformation is always possible, but it's going to be up to you and I. You're given two patterns. I mean, it's interesting. There's always like two ways. Jesus said, this is a narrow gate. There's the wide. Morpheus says, there's the blue pill. There's the red pill. And ultimately, you have to choose. There's the world's pattern. There's Christ's mold or pattern. And it's up to you which one you want to be squeezed into. The world. My friends, if you're a Christian, this is not the one for you, by the way. If you're a Christian, the only pattern we should let ourselves be squeezed into is Jesus. That everything about us, people see. That's why we're called Christians. People that are in Christ. So that's why Paul says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by renewing the way you think, by changing the way you think. And the way that we think has to start with letting the Word of God dwell in us richly, that it dictates, it governs everything else that we do. That people see that because in our character, in our things, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. That's when transformation, true transformation will happen, but it's going to be up to you. Because again, if we've been in church for so long and there's not a little blink of transformation, then what are you doing? This, you see, I always tell people, and I say it again, never be content with who you are right now. Yes, God loves you the way you are, but He loves you too much to leave you like that. That's why He created this frame so that you and I can fit. I have areas in my life that sometimes are just like, you know. And God's still working on me. He's working on you. But why is it that God's taking so long to work on some of you? Have you thought about that? Because you have not renewed your mind. Sometimes it's like, oh, I love when people want to have that as an excuse. Like, well, God's still working on me. You think God's taking too long working on you? I mean, being honest, think about that for a moment. Why is that God takes so long to work on some other people? Because those people have not renewed their minds. They have not changed the way they think. And therefore, God's just waiting. He said, you want to be transformed? Let me in. I help you, you know, like refiner's fire. Let me in. That's why transformation will never happen in some people in churches, because they're still thinking with their own thoughts. And they never know God's will. They never know what God is telling them to do because they have not renewed their minds. My friends, transformation is impossible without knowing what this book says. Sanctify them. Set them apart by the word. Your word is true. You want to be changed to be more like Jesus? Starts right here, letting this thing into our minds, into our heads, and everything. If it starts there with a thought, then the thoughts becomes our words, and our words becomes our actions, and then our actions are going to become what we value, and people are going to realize that the value that we have in the world is Bible-based. The things that we say to the world is based on what the Bible teaches. So many Christians, they engage into debates on social media, and you wonder, what kind of God are you serving? Too bad that we don't have Facebook, because I had a message for them today, but, you know, Matt's not here. But, you know, how many people, they get engaged, like, panicking because somebody was the president. And I'm thinking, but I thought you worship a king. And so we engage in debates and just like unproductive things, all because we have not renewed our minds for the sake of the kingdom of God. Transformation is always, always possible, but we have to seek it. And Paul already said, we only have one pattern. The problem is that sometimes we go with the other one. The pattern for you and I is that we be molded more like Jesus in everything that we do in this life. Think about that. People look at you, would they see Jesus even when you're working somewhere? Do they see Jesus, how you talk to the cashier, or how you talk? Do they see Jesus through that? Even how we drive sometime around people. Is it godly? Is it Bible-based convictions? Because that's, my friends, that's how we are to operate in this world. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind. God already has given you and I a mold, a frame. And we are to fit into Jesus. We all have areas that we have not let Jesus work. And that's why it's taking us so long. That's why it's taking so long for transformation to happen. But if you do want transformation, my friend, let it go. Let it go and give it to God. Because the more that you linger, the more that time that you spend, it's going to be hard on you. Remember, God took the Israelites and he said, I'm refining you by fire. It doesn't feel pretty to be refined by the Lord. You know, it's better just to go into the mold like a dough into a cookie cutter. Just go and fit in there in the mold of Jesus that people see Christ through us. It's going to be up to you and I. The praise team is going to come and they're going to sing the song of invitation. So think about what I talked about today, my friends. We have a problem with convictions. If we want convictions that really affect the way we think, we have to let this book in our minds, and then from that moment, everything else that we do in this life is going to be affected by the Word of God. There's no Bible-based convictions if we don't know the Bible. There's no transformation apart from the Word of God. There's no changing our way of thinking to there's no changing our thinking to God's thinking if we don't know what God's thinking is all about. And everything is in this manual for life, this GPS for life. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for the time that we can come together. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, I know many of us still struggle with being transformed into the image of Jesus. Lord, I pray that daily we can just let go of our own ego or of our own self-centeredness and just let you work in our lives so that you mold us and shape us according to your word. There's so many times we hear the imagery of the potter and the clay, and that's you, Lord, working us, molding us. Some of us are still hard clay. And Lord, just continue to shape us, really, so that the world see Jesus. You already have given us a frame in which we are to be fit in which we are to be molded. May we always reject the world's standard and just adopt your standard. Forgive us when we get consumed by so many other things and we neglect your word, your instructions. Lord, may we truly believe, and I believe that doesn't become just my parents' belief or my preacher's belief, but my belief that it becomes what the Bible says. That other people know that we operate by your standard, by your book, by your truth. Because you said that we will know it. We will know the truth to the point that we will be set free. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom we enjoy because of what you've done for us. Thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ and continue to work in us. And may we give you full access to change us from the inside out so that we can continue to reflect your image everywhere we go. It is in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.